it says. This is the John DePietro Show with you. AM 1540. Here I am. Hello. Right side of the dial. Each afternoon, taking your phone calls at 846-1028. I'm going to read some of your email. A lot of email coming in this afternoon. Folks, every Tuesday at this time, we take a look at state politics. We kind of call it the State House Report. Many different people that I follow, someone that is always plugged in, always has an opinion on it, well thought out opinion, I might add. He is the managing editor of OceanStateCurrent.com, and it's our friend Justin Katz. Good afternoon, Justin.
Good afternoon, John.
Justin, I want to start off. Boy, if you didn't know any better, the race for governor with Governor Raimondo is already seemingly in full motion. The Democrat Governors Association, they just upped another $50,000 that they're spending on the year. That comes to $200,000, where it seems every time I turn on TV, there's Governor Raimondo looking over somebody's shoulder, touring something. People are working, and they have a very slick commercial. Now, the commercial is about, quote her, the Rhode Island Promise, which is the, you know, state-funded, they call it free tuition, even though we know nothing is free. But it is, it's so unusual where this early on, and again, they're dumping another $50,000 into it, but by all accounts, this is a full court press by Governor Raimondo on this, quote, Rhode Island Promise free tuition plan.
Oh, yeah. I was just actually thinking that it'd be great if there were somebody on, you know, another person in this race that's already begun, even if it were just somebody who's holding a place and doing the kind of things that a competitor would do, because there's nobody really to challenge her on these things. For example, she just put out, with taxpayer dollars, an ad promoting a reduction in the car tax as opposed to Speaker Mattiello's full elimination. And another slick ad makes you wonder who's in the focus group saying, yeah, wear the red leather jacket.
Yes.
But it's kind of fun to watch, but you do wish, since we're apparently in campaign mode with national money and with taxpayer dollars as well, there was somebody out there in the running, at least to kind of offer some alternative to the claims that she's making, because some of them are just not true. Like the employment being at an all-time high in Rhode Island is just false. Especially to put it that way. And there's nobody out there who's really hitting her on this politically.
You know, it's interesting, Justin. At one time, things have started to shift over the past couple of weeks, because just a couple of months ago, there was talk, and there were two people whose names were being floated out, or actually three when I think of it, that may challenge her next September in a Democrat primary. One is Clay Pell, and who knows? I mean, he still could. He hasn't ruled it out. But with his you know, personal situation, then maybe this just isn't the timing right for him. Another person that had been mentioned, where people were reaching out to, was outgoing Attorney General Peter Kilmartin, who's term limited out. But I'm hearing less and less that he has an interest or if he could raise the money. Another person's name who was floated out, who switched to become a Democrat, he's already run for Congress, but it's former head of the Rhode Island State Police, Brendan Daugherty. There remains an unknown. And as I think of it, maybe that's why Ted Nesi jumped on the thought where Link Chafee, former Governor Chafee, is toeing the water, or at least seems to be trying to put out there that he's open to it, never say never. I don't think he's serious about it. But I think you're right. Part of the equation here is no Republican has announced. And so Raimondo, by starting early, really kind of has the field to herself.
Oh, yeah. And hearing all this, especially with the insinuation of Lincoln Chafee jumping in, it makes me think, here we go with another disastrous gubernatorial election with multiple candidates where somebody who shouldn't get in gets in just because the votes were split in a weird way. That's distressing. But it would seem to me it'd be a good time, even for somebody who's not really that interested in running for governor, who just wants some name recognition for some other office, to start being out there offering him or herself up to the press on the Republican side.
Yes.
As somebody to go to as the other side whenever there's one of these Raimondo puts out another ad stories. It's a good opportunity right now. I kind of wonder how many people are actually out there interested in thinking that long-term kind of political strategy on the right in Rhode Island.
I agree with you. And the only one, really, that has already kind of thrown his name out a little bit that he's considering it is Republican Joe Trillo. But I don't hear enough. He's not establishing himself enough. And I like Joe. We've had him on the show many times. But you're exactly right. He has not established himself yet as Raimondo says one thing, and then the cameras run over to get Trillo's reaction. Where Chafee, seemingly, you know, Chafee to me is like he's up in the you know, like the top of the grandstand, like throwing rocks down at her, but he's not willing to come down onto the field. He just keeps floating out suddenly again now. Well, you know, I'm not ruling it out. I don't think he's a serious candidate, but I just don't recall someone this early on, Justin, sitting governor, who obviously, I mean, Chafee never did this. He just sat there with his poor approval ratings. But she is all in. She is all in on the free tuition. She's obviously resonated with the Democrat Governors Association. I mean, they're dumping, think of this, she's not even up for reelection. They're dumping $200,000 just into this concept plan. And I think it shows just how vulnerable she feels right now, Justin.
Yeah, well, it does. And one key point that you reminded me of, Carol Andrew Morse, who writes for Anchorizing OceanStateCurrent.com, has long observed that Governor Kachuri, when he started running, was out there kind of early, just with ads saying, hey, look, here I am. This is my face. You know, here's my name to vote for in 2 years. And so you would more expect that sort of behavior from an outsider, a political unknown. But the fact that the governor is spending so much time and effort on this, you know, at some point you have to kind of govern, and you can't just be promoting yourself and governing as a method of promoting yourself, which
right.
is what a lot of this free tuition stuff is. It doesn't strike me as a serious policy, and there are so many things to research about it that need to be vetted, like what's going to be the effect on private colleges, for example. Nobody
right.
knows.
No.
And so that's, if anything needs a study commission, this policy does. And so it's not really a serious policy. It's just a self-promotional vehicle, perhaps as a in order to get that national money. That was the condition. You have to put forward this policy that's on our national agenda. That's a possibility as well.
What do you make of her other it's more seems to be, and the governor's office paid for it, but it's online for social media. As you mentioned, she's in the red leather jacket, and she's saying – and the term she keeps using is the responsible cutting of the car tax. So obviously intimating that Mattiello's is irresponsible. Boy, it seems there's no mending of the ways there. They are both on opposite ends of that. I don't see anything that shows that they are working together on this. But again, that's it's pretty dramatic that she's taking her argument to the public as opposed to trying to govern through the process.
Yeah, and also the timing, you know, releasing this while the General Assembly's out of session and the Speaker's out of town, it's all very strange and kind of explicitly political in that regard. And the message to me, what strikes me about that particular ad is that we all understand there's negotiation and compromise in politics, but she's talking about, well, you know, we need to do a responsible cut here and a responsible giveaway here. What we need, especially at this point in our history and also in the political cycle, is a bigger picture discussion. Do we need to trim policy around the edges, or do we need to make bigger, bolder moves? And that discussion doesn't seem to be getting underway, maybe because it's all happening within a single party in the state, and nobody likes to make big, bold moves in that party or create friction for the others. But that's what really struck me, was this idea that if we cut a little tax here and give away a little money there, this will be some kind of formula for success. I just don't see it, but we definitely need an alternative voice out there articulating why this is just foolishness.
Folks, it's John DePietro on this Tuesday. We're speaking with Justin Katz, managing editor of OceanStateCurrent.com. Justin, even David Brooks, and I think I had mentioned this, but David Brooks wrote in the New York Times, the Cuomo College fiasco. And he, I mean, this is David Brooks, and it is the New York Times, and he goes right after Cuomo and basically saying the only reason that you come out with a plan like this is because in 2020, when you're greeting voters in New Hampshire and Iowa, you want to say, hey, I'm the one that came up with the idea of the free college tuition. And what I'm also surprised at, you know, the Wall Street Journal also criticized it, but what I'm also surprised at is how the Raimondo people have been able to get some of these chambers of commerce to go along with her free college tuition. I mean, the fact that the Providence Chamber of Commerce, why they would be in favor of, you know, extra money for free college tuition when we all know the problem seemingly is that the state's not business friendly enough. So it's not a matter of that, gee, you know, we have all these great companies here and kids are leaving our colleges and universities and they're going and working somewhere else. All this is going to do is make it easy for them, and there's nothing built in that would keep them stay, keep them to stay. But I am surprised that the chambers of commerce are actually going along with Raimondo's plan.
Yeah, well, that was my big disillusionment when the Center for Freedom and Prosperity was promoting the elimination of the sales tax, was how little these business groups. Actually got involved. And my conclusion was ultimately that they're not really, you think of them as representing the businesses to government, but you start to think it's turned around where they're really, what they're doing is representing government to the business community. And I think that has a lot to do with just the size of the state and the power of the one party power in the state. For example, in New York, the independent colleges, there are enough of them that they have an independent lobbying think tank kind of organization to go out there and say, this is going to kill us. So they have those people providing at least another statistic. It didn't get them over it didn't stop it in New York. But that sort of thing, you don't have that necessarily. And part of it is the size. There's no critical mass of colleges or perhaps even large enough businesses in Rhode Island. But also the culture of cronyism in Rhode Island is such that you have to think twice as a head of an organization or a business about saying things about a particular policy that the governor or the speaker or the Senate president really is out there favoring, because if we have this kind of culture of just trying to don't come after me, please.
Right.
Give me my little handout.
Yes.
or only trim my fat this much. And that, I think that's just at this point built into the culture here, which is one of the reasons, you know, going back to whether we need big, bold moves or trimming policy, is we need big, bold moves to shake that up and give people some kind of way around this political chokehold that we're all in. I think that's a lot of what it is.
You know, it's funny you say that, because I'm looking right now, and it was a piece in the Wall Street Journal. And again, folks, we're speaking with Justin Katz, managing editor of OceanStateCurrent.com. And this is the Wall Street Journal. Tuition-free college is nothing more than a political ploy. And they say the target is not the residents of the state, but Democrat voters in Iowa and New Hampshire. You know, it's interesting, Justin. Raimondo, for all accounts, she is all in. This is the hill she's willing to die on. She seems willing to cut any deal to make this happen. And I think that puts her in a very vulnerable position with the likes of a Speaker Mattiello. Because, you know, make no mistake about it, if she fails, and we're going to know between now and June, if she fails with this free college tuition thing, you know, that she's got to start to raise her approval rating. If she is not reelected governor of Rhode Island next November, you can, you know, forget about this whole business of the running for the White House in 2020 and the national stage and everything else. I mean, this is it. And what I find striking, Justin, is this is not what we would call like a game changer for Rhode Island. For instance, to me, if you had a governor who was willing to go to the mat to make Rhode Island a right-to-work state or truly make it business-friendly where we're below Massachusetts and Connecticut, I would say that's someone who's willing to put it all on the line for the good of the state. But as the Wall Street Journal describes it, Raimondo is willing to put it all on the line for something described nothing more than a political ploy.
Yeah, well, I mean, with reference to Governor Cuomo in New York, we've talked before about how a lot of Raimondo's focus, in contrast to Nicholas Mattiello's focus, is all local and getting reelected in a small area of Cranston. Her focus seems to be national. We haven't all, none of us have figured out why, like what her long-term goal is. But that's, if you've got a long-term plan within your state and your concern is mainly staying in the state and doing what's good for the state, you're out there governing.
Yep.
Rather than letting you know all your software in the state fall apart from 9/11 to the DMV to UHIP and healthcare stuff. So you're governing, but also you're putting out long-term ideas the bigger plan. I mean, maybe her big plan is let's trim things as we go, and over a decade or two, we'll have hit all the important points. If that could be her plan, but she's never articulated it. It's all little stuff, and let's compromise. And this particular thing happens to also be popular across the country with my party. But this little thing of free tuition, this is going to make a big difference in Rhode Island, which it's not going to.
No.
Certainly not in a good way. But that's the quandary of all this is, what is she looking? It certainly looks like her eyes are set nationally, considering also the national fundraising trips.
Oh, yeah.
The glowing articles in national magazines or magazines from other cities across the country. It's really, there's a strange disconnect. And I wonder at some point, if that's going to start, we're going to start to see that reflected locally in just people's gut reaction to her, which is why I mentioned the leather jacket she was wearing, the red leather jacket. You know, I don't know if that's what you're thinking of your governor when you know when you're sitting there watching a thing about giving you free college, and here's your governor with the slick back hair and the fancy red leather jacket. It looks like somebody who's got her eyes set on Washington D.C., New York City, L.A. Not necessarily Providence, and certainly not Kent County or Newport or Tiverton, where I live.
And Justin, what a contrast between her and Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker, who right now, by all accounts, has the highest approval rating of any governor, 75%. You don't see him courting national press. You don't hear about him crisscrossing the country raising money. He's sitting there in Massachusetts. His laser focus, from what I read and everything I see, seems to be on making Massachusetts as competitive as possible, better, the best it can possibly be. That seems to be his whole focus. Governor Raimondo, on the other hand, just as you said, she seems to me less interested in governing and more interested in just the basic campaigning. Now, I want to pick up on something you just mentioned, and that is Kent County, because I found that Brown University poll that came out last week, and we had Professor Monroe on. I thought it was very fascinating because there definitely seem to be the two Rhode Islands. You have, you know, the east side, and you have the Raimondo, Cicilline, Alorza, Sheldon Whitehouse. You know, Trump is evil, everybody hates him, blah, blah, blah. But Brown University did something interesting. They did a poll in Kent County, which is Warwick, East Greenwich, West Warwick, Coventry, North Kingstown, Exeter. And what did they find? They found a large percentage of people, they want the border wall. They want, in fact, quote, a Muslim ban, and they are still behind President Trump. It is such a stark contrast to what we normally hear coming out of how people feel about the president in Rhode Island and politics.
Right, and I think one of the things you see in that poll is people have – they're kind of waiting to see with President Trump, which the local media doesn't, and the national media for that matter, doesn't seem to understand this. Like I might, if I got a call, I might give President Trump only a fair rating, but he's still doing all right and heading in the right direction. And I'm sure that if President Clinton were in office, I'd be asking them if I could say disastrous as a rating. Support is weak. That's actually how some of the local media has been characterizing it. But I think, at least in those parts of the state, people are taking a wait and see approach. They're becoming a little bit more practical in how they observe politics. And this is also telling in some of the issue questions. What struck me about it, both the election, the approval for the president and some of the issues, is these things they're either or when it comes down to it. An election is either or. It's not just do you approve of this person.
That's right.
Well, maybe I do, maybe I don't, but I definitely don't approve of that one. Or I kind of like this one, but that one I like even more. And the same thing with policies. And when you see – when they give contrast in the poll questions, for example, with Planned Parenthood, they asked about defunding Planned Parenthood. And then they asked also, well, what about if there's a government shutdown? So they gave a choice. Whereas with the Affordable Care Act, they just said, should we get rid of it? And that was it. They didn't ask, should we get rid of it or should we let healthcare collapse?
Right.
You'll see different results there. But those questions do show a practical side. If people could just get that message and if it were more better articulated to them, I think that'd be a big help for advancing the right side. I mean, you definitely and people like me also try to get that word out, but sometimes it needs to reach to the mainstream, which is not happening. But one thing also I noticed, if you look at the votes for Congress, versus what you, whether you consider yourself Democrat, Republican, or something else, it's actually the votes for Congress pick up one percentage point worth of the something else category. So the Democrat still wins in that poll question, but the Republicans gain ground among the people who aren't partisan, which I thought was telling, too.
Very telling, especially, I mean, Congressman Lanchman is basically in a dead heat against an unnamed, unknown Republican with 41 to 37 or 42 to 37, 21% undecided. I mean, I found that very striking. All right, four quick questions to wrap up. Number one, or actually three, do you think, ultimately, will Link Chafee enter a Democrat primary against Gina Raimondo?
He's been part of that Rhode Island craziness in recent years, so you don't want to make any hard predictions. I would expect, I mean, it's kind of odd to do that kind of a comeback run, especially given how he left. So I'd kind of think if he has his sights on anything other than just speaking publicly and being in the public eye, it's probably he's focused on some other area, some other job or some other appointment or some other election as opposed to the gubernatorial race. But,
yeah. You
know, if Raimondo's numbers tank between now and then, you know, if this free tuition thing falls through, it's certainly egg on her face. So that could be an option. If the field looks really weak going into the next election, he could jump in, but I wouldn't bet on it.
I would say no. I think he left very low approval rating. I think he hurt himself even worse with the embarrassing 1% run for president. Number two, does Ken Block again run for governor?
Ken has been definitely trying to stay active, promoting particular good government type issues, which I think is a smarter way to go about the long-term campaigning. We'll see. I think it's going to depend, again, who's in the field. He may not want to do another primary run alongside Mayor Fung, for example. He'd be good. With Ken Block, I it's one of those things where I wish people would start at the bottom a little bit. You know, he doesn't necessarily have to run for city council, but run for the General Assembly.
Right.
You know, you've got all this name recognition. Why
I
not?
Know.
Why not spend some time in there? I mean, yeah, it's terrible hours and the pay is, you know,
so what?
Is pretty bad for what you do.
Yeah.
But yeah, for the long, I mean, if you're willing to put all this time in to get something like the line item veto, put it in at the state house and see if you can work on the people there. Also, that gives you a position to help, you know, work with other people who are getting active at the low levels of government and grassroots activism. That's what I'd prefer to see. So he may run, but I think it's like Lincoln Chafee. We've got a lot of these characters, and even Bob Healey when he ran. You know, they're just sort of floating out there. And if the opportunity looks like it's there, they'll fall into the position. Otherwise, they don't seem particularly invested in it.
Final question: yes or no? Does Raimondo face a Democrat primary?
I'll go yes at this point. I mean, it's going to depend a lot on what she gets done, and which way she decides to tack in, you know, whether left or right, and how far she does that. I would be surprised if there weren't somebody who gave her at least a token run.
Yeah. Well, the fact that she went on marijuana, that to me says that she's less concerned about a progressive challenge and more concerned about like a general moderate Democrat like Brendan Daugherty or Peter Kilmartin. I'm just throwing out those names. Someone like that. But the fact that she said no on marijuana, that tells me that she's not concerned about the progressives. Folks, he is the managing editor of OceanStateCurrent.com. He's Justin Katz, joins us every Tuesday at this time. Hey, Justin, great job. We'll talk to you again.
Yeah, have a great week, everybody.
All right, folks, there he is, Justin Katz. It's John DePietro. We'll come back. We'll take your phone calls, 846-1028, 846-1028 on this rainy Tuesday. Hey, I want to remind you, I have great news on this Tuesday. Great news, Juan. Yes, I have great news. Well, what is the great news? The great news is that Pine Ridge Shooters Club in Exeter, they're still accepting memberships, so become a member today. Call them at 667-6133. Pine Ridge, accepting memberships and hourly lane rentals are available to the public. The club is pristine, built to military specifications. Pine Ridge, 20,000 square foot state-of-the-art indoor shooting range. They are Rhode Island's largest indoor shooting range with three different ranges. Pine Ridge also has a gun store right on the premises featuring new and used handguns, rifles, pistols, shotguns. Call today and find out about a membership, 667-6133. They also feature beautiful, handmade, high-end quality guns like Nighthawk, Ed Brown, Kimber, Dan Wesson, and CZ, just to name a few. High quality and available at Pine Ridge. Pine Ridge, easy to get to, 560 South County Trail in Exeter. You can find them online, PineRidgeIndoorShootingRange.com, or call Bob and Mike at 667-6133. Remember, they have hourly lane rentals available to the public. You could also become a member. It's Pine Ridge Indoor Shooting Range, 560 South County Trail in Exeter, online, PineRidgeIndoorShootingRange.com. It's John DePietro on this Tuesday. We'll take more of your phone calls, 846-1028.
As Americans, we can be forgiven for thinking our country is generally number one in most categories. In fact, Americans do not enjoy the world's longest life expectancy. We're not the most wired nation in the world. We do not have the most cost-efficient healthcare system, and holding a U.S. passport is not necessarily a ticket to go most anywhere we want. On that last point, I can tell you the best passport to carry if you want entree to the most countries in the world without bothering with obtaining a visa. I'm Rudy Max with today's Travel Minute from Rudy Max's World. The research firm Henley & Partners tracks which passports are most easily accepted in the world, and the answer is Germany's. German travelers are welcome to stroll through customs without having to obtain a visa beforehand in 177 countries. That's out of a pool of 218. Sweden is in second place by a hair. 176 countries are happy to welcome Swedes with no need for a visa. Is the U.S. in third place? Nope. That would be United Kingdom, Finland, France, and Spain. They're tied. The U.S. is in fourth place, along with Spain, the Netherlands, and Denmark, with visa-free acceptance by 174 countries. However, new visa rules contemplated by America might change that. More tomorrow. Travel info at RudyMaxa.com.
A lot of people are watching Stranger Things, Orange is the New Black, and the rest of Netflix offerings. The company says it'll hit 100 million subscribers worldwide. And all that money the streaming service threw at Dave Chappelle and Adam Sandler seems to be paying off. Netflix says the Chappelle stand-up specials were its most watched ever. Subscribers have watched 500 million hours worth of Sandler's original movies as well on the service.
Hey, the hazy, hot, humid days closer than you think. Let JKL Engineering design and install a carrier infinity system for your home or business. These carrier systems, folks, have the highest rebates on the market. They're quiet, energy efficient. You could save over 50% on your energy bills just by having JKL replace that old clunker. Call them today. Call today for a free estimate. Call JKL 351-7600. Factory authorized carrier, Navient dealer for installation and service, licensed in Rhode Island and Massachusetts, an approved National Grid VPI installer. Call JKL Engineering today. 351-7600. 351-7600.
The most entertaining show on your radio. John DePietro on 1540 WADK.
And we're back on this Tuesday. Good afternoon, one and all. It's Juan. It is John DePietro. This is the John DePietro Show, where you can call in 846-1028. Billy is in Newport on this rainy Tuesday. Good afternoon, Billy.
Hey, John. I want to say Trump's a total failure. Shame on you people that voted for him. He hasn't done anything. What a disgrace.
Well, I disagree with that. You want to go through number one? He is certainly reshaping our foreign policy by putting North Korea on notice and also Syria on notice that they were not going to allow. Oh, Billy hung up. I disagree with that. I completely disagree with that. Shame on those that voted for him. He has done. Number two, so let's start with the fact that there is pressure now on North Korea, and there is pressure on the fact of China to get involved with North Korea. Folks, you can call in. Notice he hung up. I want to be very clear. Billy from Newport, you're welcome to call in. Call back. I don't hang up on anybody. No lecture here. I don't hang up on anybody. 846-1028. First-time callers are welcome. Just dial 401-846-1028. I also have that phone number on both my Facebook page and the Twitter page, and also on DePietro.com as well. But the fact of the matter is, when you look at President Trump, now, number one, he is at least trying to move things forward towards improving Obamacare. No one is happy with Obamacare. I spoke with someone this morning. I couldn't believe what I heard, that in their family, their deductible is $13,000 for a deductible. Think of what has to happen before you reach a deductible of $13,000. President Obama said, oh, all these young people are going to jump in and start paying the system. They're not paying. So the fact is that it's not perfect, and it hasn't happened overnight, but something has to be done about Obamacare. How much do you pay a year? I spoke with someone about a month ago. Her and her husband, they're self-employed. They pay $24,000 a year for health care, health care coverage. And thank God they're both healthy. But, you know, what about the people that are not paying? And what about the doctors? If you are a doctor or nurse or work in a doctor's office, the sickest people are the ones that are going in. The people that haven't seen a doctor in a very, very long time are the ones that are in fact the ones that are going in and being treated. Doctors' offices now are packed, and if anything, doctors are working longer, and doctors will tell you many of the people that they come in who haven't seen a doctor in 15 years, they're the most unhealthy, they need the most treatment, and then they also, anything extra, they don't pay, so the doctor gets stiff. So, number two, President Trump has already set into motion that we will not be allowing people to just coming streamlining into the country. These two ranchers, I mentioned them earlier. Illegals coming over the Mexican border, folks, down 90%. Why? Because they're afraid of President Trump. It's a deterrent. You know, it's like a store that if you have shoplifting and then suddenly the store puts in security cameras, maybe hires a security guard, what do you think happens? Shoplifting goes down. You know, I've spoken over the years with many different security experts. And whenever there's break-ins in an area, what do they say? Install more lights. Get a dog. You know, minor things like that. If you have mice, get a cat. Get a small dog. Intruders are less likely to enter a home if they hear a dog barking. They'll find a house that doesn't have a dog. They also will find a house that doesn't have any lights on as opposed to one that has it. It's about being a deterrent. You know, I've talked about this before, and Billy just wanted to call up and yell at all the Trump supporters, which is fine, although he could have stayed on the line. I would have entertained the call at 846-1028. But, you know, I saw this just the other day, where suddenly everyone on the highway was hitting their brake lights and slowing down. And why was that? Well, right up ahead, there was a Rhode Island State Police car. Now, he wasn't stopping anyone. I didn't see a radar gun out. Just his mere presence was acting as a deterrent for people to keep their speed down. That's what we're talking about. So all this false stuff you've heard of, there's going to be massive deportations and dragging people out of schools and kids are crying and petrified and Karen Lee Ziner with a big Providence Journal story. The guy's hiding in the basement peering out of the curtain like he's Anne Frank for crying out loud. You know, that's not, they're hiding in the shadows. Hiding in the shadows, the illegals are going up to the state house demanding driver's licenses. And, they're and, hiding in the and, shadows.
And the governor
the
and
police
Rhode
Island, escort.
We are, I would say to pass
Juan Garcia.
Executive order to give
Nick, Juan Garcia.
Driver license for undocumented people and do and renew the
hiding in the
license.
Shadows. They met with the head of the Rhode Island State Police. And she said, don't worry, under my watch, no one's getting deported. How does the head of the Rhode Island State Police, this Anna Sumpko, how does she even say something like that?
They want the people of Rhode Island to know we're going to keep them safe. And
now, you want the residents of Rhode Island, the American citizens of Rhode Island. What about keeping us safe?
They want the people of Rhode Island to know we're going to keep them safe.
Queena.
And we are a welcoming, tolerant state.
Yeah, apparently just not law-abiding. 846-1028. Again, you can send me email. Some people are still saying I should go back to the Juan email, but for now I still just have john@depetro.com. Marx writes, Juan, wouldn't it be great if at the end of his meeting with Attorney General Jeff Sessions, Merrill Lawser was put in handcuffs? He's openly admitted to breaking federal laws. Sounds like a confession to me. Let's see him in a perp walk. You have the right to remain silent, go. Righto to remain silent, go, Senora Lorza. Your pal Mark, the undocumented emailer. I like that a lot. You know, as I said, I think they should be. I was willing at that rally. I was ready to make a citizen's arrest against him. And I should park, some people have made suggestions. We should do a compilation of crazy time at the end of the week, and then we should also post some of the email that I get on there as well. Let's see, another email. Jorge says, looking out for those not committing crimes and seeking the American dream. Isn't being here illegally a crime? Quite the confused clown, isn't he? And that fool was a law professor at my alma mater, which I'm thinking was Roger Williams. So, again, folks, you can send me email. It's john@depetro.com, john@depetro.com. Let's see. It is 2:42 on this Tuesday.
It's where you live, a New England home. Give it a look, that's all its own. Garage headquarters, 877-62, Garage.
Well, folks, you have an opportunity to go with the best. You know, I ride around. I garage profile. I admit that. I look at different people's doors and say, that could be better. That could be improved. Hey, it actually helps the investment in your home. I should know. That's what we did with the independent home. Went with an investment-grade door. Go online today, garageheadquarters.com, or you can call them at 877-62-GARAGE. Improve the value of your home. 877-62-GARAGE, or visit them online at garageheadquarters.com. All backed by the best door price guarantee.
Garage Headquarters, 877-62-GARAGE.
You know, they were once again named this past year the number one. This is about more doors, more selection, best door price value. And when you've been in business longer, you have better technicians, more warehouses, more trucks on the road, any other company in Rhode Island and southeastern Mass. When you want a door that matches the architecture of your home or business, you don't deal with big box stores that overprice you subcontractors. Call the certified professionals since 1973. 877-62-GARAGE. And find out about that software imaging tool. You can see what different doors would look like on your home or business. Call them today. 877-62-GARAGE. John DePietro, more of your phone calls, 846-1028 ahead.
From ABC News Tech Trends, are your headphones spying on you? Some backlash against Bose. The popular audio company has been hit with a lawsuit charging the mobile app for its wireless headphones violates the Federal Wiretap Act.
The legal complaint alleges everything you listen to is transmitted back to Bose and could be sold to marketers.
ABC's Becky Worley says the mobile app collects data about you and your habits.
Your playlist is you. The lawyer in this proposed class action lawsuit says podcasts alone can be used to identify people by their political leanings, their sexuality, whether they're suffering from medical or psychological problems. And I would add, God forbid anybody finds out I still listen to Nickelback.
As for a response from Bose officials, Worley says so far, they're keeping quiet.
Their privacy policy says they only share non-identifiable data, and it's only to make the app work better.
In the meantime, users can bypass the app and just connect via Bluetooth. With Tech Trends, I'm Mona Rivera, ABC News.
A luxurious mansion on the Upper East Side of Manhattan is on the market for $84.5 million. It was recently featured on Trulia's list of the 20 most expensive homes for sale in America. For sale by the Modlin Group, perks include a custom library on the third floor and his and her bathrooms with features like heated floors, steam-resistant mirrors, and a cosmetics refrigerator.
Well, folks, this time of year, a lot of people are looking for the right realtor to either help them sell their home or buy their new home. Two words, you say realtor, I say Rick Moulton, 580-1608. He's the best. Top producer at REMAX for 25 years. Think of this. When you're making an investment in a home or selling your home, why not you deal with the best? And that's my friend, Rick Moulton. Call him today, 580-1608. Top producer at REMAX for 25 years, REMAX Hall of Fame, flexible commissions, terminate any time if unhappy, Vietnam veteran, serving all, also supporter of the Children's Miracle Network. He is personable, professional, honest, totally knowledgeable about all things real estate, and a top negotiator. He's Rick Moulton. Call him today, 580-1608. How long has that piece of property you have been sitting on the market? Let's get it sold. But call with someone trusted, respected. Rick Moulton, 580-1608. He gets results for buyers and sellers when other realtors have failed. Rick will get you the shortest, most money in the shortest period of time with the least amount of problems. Call my friend Rick Moulton today. And on top of that, free home warranty, each new listing and sale, limited coverage of heating, plumbing, electrical, overall home roofing, all appliances. It's Rick Moulton. Call him. He's the best. Listen, you deserve the best. Call my friend. You say realtor, I say two words, Rick Moulton. 580-1608.
He tells it like it is. He's John DePietro on 1540 WADK.
On this Tuesday, good afternoon, one and all. It's Juan. This is John DePietro. This is, hello, here I am. Hey, there you are. Yes, here I am. John, you're on AM 1540. As a matter of fact, Kreskin, I am. Yes, truer words never spoken. Now, what hour is you on again? 1 to 5, right? Afternoons, 1 to 5. So we like to encourage people, especially listen on your ride home, whether it's 4 to 5 or 3 to 5. We're going to close down again with Crazy Time Comes Your Way. Crazy Time, yes, Crazy Time. 10 seconds, anything you want. Brought to you by Overhead Door. We try to go for humor. That's always the goal. You know, that's always the goal on the program, is humor. We don't always get there, but we certainly make an attempt and try to at least entertain people as they listen. Folks, you can always call into the program, 846-1028. What's the phone number? Nick will take your call. Just dial 401-846-1028. I think President Trump, I disagree with that last caller. I think he has changed the tone in Washington. I think he has made it very clear. Listen, this is not easy. Kellyanne Conway and Steve Bannon, they were great. They helped get him elected. But now it's time to govern. And as someone that wrote the book, The Art of the Deal, President Trump, I think, you know, they are, again, this is the presidency's in its infancy. They're learning that you need to make certain compromises to make things happen, get it better, and whatever that's going to be. And that health care bill that Paul Ryan put forward, he said, listen, there's got to be more competition. But also big news today, Mayor Alorza, the mayor of Providence, is in Washington meeting with Attorney General Jeff Sessions. It would be great if they arrested him.
Mayor Jorge Alorza says when he meets with U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions on Tuesday, his primary goal will be to establish clarity on what a sanctuary city is.
When mayors say sanctuary city, what we mean is we're looking out for folks who aren't committing any crimes and are simply looking for the American dream. When they say sanctuary city, there's almost this caricature where we're, you know, supposedly harboring criminals.
Following an executive order signed by President Trump in January, Providence was placed on a list of communities the federal government says limits cooperation with immigration officers.
Yep.
The mayor says he hopes to find out what exactly this means for his community.
Through that dialogue, we hope to shape the policies and the practices that...
Yeah, he's going to shape the policies. Alorza is. City is a wreck. He's going to shape the policies
that they adopt so that we can achieve our common goal of focusing on dangerous criminals.
If they're here and they're not supposed to be here, what are we talking about? And you tell the police, don't ask them anything? I think that answers the question right there. Let's go back to this was me at the Trump rally where I said I would make a citizen's arrest on Mayor Alorza.
And then we have Mayor Alorza,
That is exactly right. Listen to that crowd. Why not? This is insanity. He's not going to enforce the law. According to who? Folks, Providence is hanging by a string. I mean, they're broke. And that city council. I mean, we're about to witness. Maybe they're all going to be under indictment for crying out loud. Aponte, that city council president, is in trouble. That other Jackson guy won't leave. Now they're passing laws welcoming gang members to the city. What does the P stand for? Is that the new version of the Bloods and the Crips? You also have the P's? That orange P? Are they still wearing that thing? Doesn't that mean that that's parking near the Dunkin' Donuts Center? The P. Yeah, the P. That's the old orange P from Providence Civic Center. Orange P. He'll wear that on national television, this Mayor Alorza. The guy's got to be the worst mayor we've ever had, without question. But he'll wear that stupid orange P. That, again, that's the old logo. How much did they spend on that Cicilline spin? $100,000? Somebody in Tennessee? An orange P? That's the old orange P from Providence Civic Center. I used to go there and watch all the Friar teams over the years.
But what's important are the policies. Providence has always been a sanctuary for immigrants, and it will continue to be that way. And in nowhere are we going to change our policies.
Captain Delusional. How do we get this guy out of office? Folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. Each afternoon with you, 1 to 5, right here, AM 1540. It's WADK. You can call in 846-1028. Hey, I want to remind you, if you're buying a new home or you're refinancing, call Steve Tetzner at Homestar Mortgage. You deserve the best. Steve is the top mortgage professional in the state. Homestar Mortgage, lender of the year by Rhode Island Housing. Steve has originated over $1 billion in mortgages during his 20 years at Homestar. Offices in Providence and Wakefield. Homestar Mortgage, one of Rhode Island's largest independent mortgage lenders. Whether you're looking for a mortgage with no money down, an FHA, VA, or jumbo loan, Steve Tetzner is available 7 days a week to guide you through the loan process. Homestar Mortgage, they even offer 100% financing with no income limits. Homestar specializes in renovation loans, allow you to buy a home, finance the improvements. Call Steve Tetzner at Homestar Mortgage directly on his cell phone at 447-4367. Steve's cell phone again, call him. He's the best. This is the time of year. Listen, you're looking to buy a home. You need a mortgage. I got the guy. I know a guy. His name is Steve Tetzner. Call him, 447-4367. At least test out his cell phone. 447-4367. Call him and say, is this the Steve Tetzner of Homestar Mortgage? 447-4367. You want the top mortgage professional working for you. Well, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. This is the John DePietro Show. You know, there's also a little bit of, how should I phrase it? I don't want to say Rhode Island history, but there's definitely an interesting piece in this morning's Providence Journal where they have House, yes, Winnebago, no. Did you hear about this? Looking for a place with some Rhode Island political history? Check out Cranston's DePriet home. The realtor selling the house, a former governor, Ed DePriet, didn't read the deeper Rhode Island story in the 30-year-old photograph. I just like the aerial view it offered, she said. How it showed the Greek Revival columns at the front door, the swimming pool in back, and the Winnebago. DePriet's famed campsite on wheels. Remember, he was Winnebago Ed, circa 1987, in the driveway beside the five-bedroom colonial he and Patricia DePriet had built in 1968, where they raised their seven children. The house, which served for time as something close to a governor's mansion in those happier days between 1985 and 1991. Right now, the agent is just focused on selling the property. So the house on Wilbur Avenue in Western Cranston, which once hosted a president and frequent lobster lamb chop fundraisers, quiet now, went on the market almost a month ago. Apparently now, Patricia Pat DePriet, she passed away. And in the story, Ed DePriet mentions that he's no longer living there. He moved to a smaller residence in Garden City. But he does pop up on television from time to time. I know that Joe Paolino has him on that Channel 6 show. And I know that former Attorney General Arlene Violet has come under fire sometimes for being seated next to him on the show. Now, I have defended Arlene on that simply because when you're a guest on a television program, you don't get to say, I want to sit here, and this person sits there. They sat them next to each other. And, you know, it was Attorney General Jeff Pine that went after him. So I like Arlene, and I respect her, obviously. I thought the criticism of her cozying up to him on the Paolino Sunday morning show, I thought that was a little unfair. It wasn't like she's, you know, hanging out with him. She appeared on a panel show with him. But DePreet said he's in a new home in Garden City. But, boy, at one time in the mid-'80s, Ed DePreet, he was on the move, and that was a big day. I still remember the television trucks in the driveway. And think of that, President Bush, the last Republican, as I'm thinking of it, Republican president to visit a home here in Rhode Island, because then you had President Clinton, who obviously they come in and out of Rhode Island raising money, treating Rhode Island like an ATM machine. President Bush, George Bush, 43, the only time he came to Rhode Island while president was he came to a ceremony at the Naval War College in 2007, I believe. I think it was 2007 or 2008. I think it was 2007. He came, and that was it, but he never went to a residence or anything like that. But Ed DePreet, he was obviously rolling, and then, my God, you know, went to prison and that whole investigation. And that one thing you can say about Jeff Pine, here you had a Republican attorney general going after a Republican governor. And then the Providence Journal did those tremendous stories. That could be like a miniseries. As much as everyone talks about Crime Town, that Rhode Island for sale on the DePreet stuff, that could be a series on Netflix, or that could be a series on Showtime. But then he spent 11 months at the ACI for steering state contracts to political donors. And then Ed DePreet, if you remember, had Richard Egbert, who was his attorney, and they set up shop, and they had the offices on South Main Street. And I remember Pat DePreet saying, you know, as far as the money, the lawyers took all the money. He had like a $1 million defense. Dennis DePreet did not have to go to jail, but former Governor DePreet, he did, in fact, go to jail. But his house is for sale, 555 Wilbur Avenue in Cranston. Very, very memorable. It's John DePietro. Listen, we have 2 big hours to go. We'll take more of your phone calls, bring you up to speed on things. 846-1028. You can email me. I'll read some more of your email. It's john@depietro.com. As we roll through, 2 big hours to go on this rainy Tuesday.